Blog Talk Radio.
As a remedy that I could use to live my life clean, but every time I walk, I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me. Saint son, turn it over to me, turn it over to me. I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your nail scarred hands.
Welcome to my gymnasium.
Let's go, Big Mike. Let's run with it.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we're continuing with our teachings on the spiritual gifts. Tonight's subject is going to be on the spiritual gifts of faith, and they're going to be presented by Apostle Emmett Overton. We would like to thank those who have been sponsoring the teachings this past week, and we would like to thank those who are members of the churches and out there listening who have been supporting this ministry. Now, without further ado, let's get ready to get started with tonight's teaching on the spiritual gifts, the gift of faith.
Five seconds. Sound check testing 1-2. Okay, we want to welcome you to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries.com. Good evening. Shalom to you. I just want to just thank God I made it to the day. We take one day at a time. Tomorrow's not promised, but tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. I just want to give you an enlightenment to a listening audience. I was talking to my assistant pastor, you know, and as I see through the experience of Internet Radio, I find a lot of Christians don't know the Bible. Christians go through the motions, but they really don't know their power and the authority that they have. And when you do have this power and authority, you won't get tricked by the enemy or be deceived by the devil. If any of us have these nine gifts of the Spirit, there is no way that we can be deceived by false preachers. You can see straight through them. So these gifts not only help in the church, they help protect you from unsaved people also. And I want to say one thing here to the American people. November, please go out and vote, midterm election. Please go out and vote so we can start impeachment. Go out and vote. This country needs a lot of prayer. There's a lot of problems in the head, and that's Isaiah. We preached on that. And I'm feeling compelled to teach that probably next week. The head is sick. And when you see all this in government, it spreads down to our nation. So please pray that the Lord give this nation some mercy and they repent. Okay, all right, now let's get going here with the nine gifts of the Spirit, talking about faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, use me as your oracle and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate my thoughts. Let the Holy Spirit hear my spirit so I can teach the word. Your word says that we don't worry about what we're going to say or how that we're going to say it. Luke 12:11, that the Holy Spirit will lead us at that hour what you need to say. I believe that you will do this, and I bind all demons that will try to hinder the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's move on now to the gifts of faith, gifts of healing, works of miracles. as we begin with the gift of faith, let us clearly clarify the nature of the gift by noting of the difference between three kinds of faith referred to in the New Testament. There are three kinds of faith that is referred to in the New Testament. Number one, faith for salvation. First, in Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the faith that a person receives through hearing the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll get more faith because it tells you of testimonies of people of faith throughout the Bible. As a person opens his heart and receives the word, it produces faith within them. The word of God is that powerful. This kind of faith is necessary for salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Paul states regarding the requirements for salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God that brings salvation comes to us through faith. We cannot boast about this faith. However, because God gives it to us as we open our hearts to hear the preaching of the gospel. Hear the preaching of the gospel. Faith comes when people are hearing the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, because God gives it to us as we open our hearts to hear the preaching of the gospel. Open our hearts to hear it. And that's how your faith increases. The fact that faith is absolutely essential for salvation is emphasized in several other passages of scriptures, and we're all going to look at that. Let's go now to look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5 and 5. But now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. In order to receive righteousness, we must have faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ, which comes through hearing of the gospel. Learn that. Faith comes by hearing. Before you know anything tonight, you're going to remember. The more you read, the more faith you get. This is why I constantly keep telling people to read the word. It inputs to us by God as righteousness. Paul wrote, "For I say, though through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one of us a measure of faith." Romans 12:3. Paul did not say the measure of faith, but a measure of faith. God has given to each believer a certain proportion of faith, and you have to use that. This is what is often called saving faith, or faith for salvation, or faith that accomplished salvation to get you into the kingdom of God. He's so merciful because we're so damn wicked. The mankind is so wicked that he had to put this, Lord have mercy, a part of a belief system so we believe and sure that he can come in. Man, I tell you, boy, God has done a lot through his son. This truth is so implies in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. So you got to believe he's a God in order to get saved. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Creflo Dollar, diligently seek him, not tithe. See, tithes and diligently seek him, seeking to get ye the kingdom of God, and gives the righteousness according to Matthew 6:33. But if you hear the word, that can calm out your spirit, and if you be rightly divided, you won't be tricked by Creflo Dollar's game. Because that's not the gospel. Kenneth Copeland, that is not the gospel. I don't know what that is. If you are rightly dividing the word of truth, you'll see that there is mistaught about this thing seed. This is why we need these gifts, brothers and sisters. Faith as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The second kind of faith is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferance, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. In the King James Version of Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, we have already noted the fruit of the Spirit is ninefold, just as the gift of the Spirit are ninefold. I think it is one of the marks of the beautiful inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is exact balance and of the fruits. Now, me personally, I believe that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love through manifestations of various gifts. But let's see what the Bible says. The seventh fruit of the Spirit is faith. Galatians 5:22. This is not the type of faith we must have to be saved. Every one of the manifold form of faith of the Spirit is a mark, a character. This faith means continually quiet trust or dependently or faithfully. If a person has continuous quiet trust, he does not become frustrated or emotional overwhelmed in certain circumstances. This is when you know you got that gift. You got Cleo, some woman called herself Cleo, the Evangelina, or Janice, she's a witch. Talking about she can see in the spirit. Talking about I see a snake. Man, please. The faith means continual quiet trust or dependably on the Lord. Faithful, if a person has continual quiet trust, he does not become frustrated or check this out, over emotionalism in any circumstances. Very few people have this quality. I said very few people. I don't even have this quality. I'm being real. I have faith, but this quality, sometimes I'm human. I got to get there. Everybody got to get there. So ain't no big me's a little you's in this radio station. Everybody's saying, apostles, pastors, we put the titles aside. We're all up in here together. It comes by experience and cultivating them. Lots of suffering from Christ. See, we don't want to go through that. And some of the gifts we can't get if we don't go through suffering. How are you going to be in the miracles and you don't know about suffering? You have to get a testimony for suffering because God has suffered, got you out of your sufferings and healed you. Whether it's crack, cocaine, cancer, marijuana, drugs, alcohol, THC, LSD, acid. And marijuana is a medical enhancement. There's a lot of things to be used with medical marijuana that have demonized it. Let's look at miraculous faith. So when you see a person real quiet, you don't say too much, and he's constantly at peace, he's believing something, and 3 or 4 weeks you see him, oh, I got a testimony. He was operating in that faith. All right, there's what you call a miraculous faith. The third kind of faith is which one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is miraculous faith. To another is given faith by the same Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:9. God has all wisdom, but he doesn't give us the wisdom at once. In a moment of need, he imparts to us a word of wisdom by the Holy Spirit. This is just a little fragment of his wisdom that meets the needs of this situation. Similarly, although God has all knowledge, he does not impart to us all that knowledge because we would stagnate under that load. We wouldn't handle it. We're human. Again, in the moment of need, he imparts to us a word of his knowledge by the Holy Spirit. He imparts the gift of faith in a very similar way. Paul did not say God gives a word of faith, but that is essential. What is God? Has all faith. And through the gift, he imparts to us a tiny portion of it. It is not human faith or faith that is cultivated. It is divine faith. Faith is constantly supernaturally and directed from God by the Holy Spirit, very frequently in the form of a word. This gift, like the others, have extreme power because people can see things and they can see the person pray things that they never could do. Man, these are some very powerful gifts. No one discerns spirits at will unless the Holy Spirit reveal it. Likewise, no one has the gift of faith at all. The Bible says all men do not have faith. Some men don't have faith. Let me see, can I find that for you? And I was studying that out of old granddaddy. Let me see, can I pull this up? This granddaddy here. Oh, look at that, boy. I told you it's granddaddy. And I was studying that. And let me see if I can still find it out this old Bible because I had it underlined. It was in Thessalonians. It said, all men do not have faith. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians. Just wait 1 minute. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Just hang on. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And I pray to God that that's not any of you. Now, some people don't have faith, and the Bible says that. Don't let that be you. And if you see that you like that, renounce it and ask the Lord to give you faith. He give it to us freely. Paul did say and gives a word of faith, but this is a supernatural faith. This is knowledge and wisdom all coming together as one believer believe. And you may be praying that same prayer he's praying, but all of a sudden, it comes, man. That's a supernatural, miraculous faith that some people have. Let's look at the nature of God's faith. Miraculously faith is therefore the impartation of divine faith to humanity. Let us look for a moment at the nature of God's faith. The faith of God and study of his faith in his own word brought the entire universe into being. In Psalms chapter 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens was made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his nostrils. The image of God's breath is important. Why is that? Because his breath means spirit, and he speaks faith, he speaks that knowledge, and he gives it to those who are earnestly fed. The spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water in Genesis 1-2. What was the next thing that happened? God says that there be light, and there was light. God's word went out of his mouth, and when the word and the spirit of God united, the word light turned into things called light. That's powerful, man. And that's the power of God, and people who have miraculously faith taps into that. Now, you don't see a whole lot of them in these churches because you got Reverend Leroy Thomas talking about money coming. We ain't talking about that type of mess. Money cometh. Ain't nowhere in the Bible. That's another Jesus, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. This is no accident because the things of God were spoken into being by the Holy Ghost. When God said light, there was light. This is the origin and nature of all creation. In Hebrews 11:3, the same truth is presented again in the relationship to God's word, bringing forth his spirit. By faith, we understand that the worlds, W-O-R-D-S, so there's more than one earth. Let's sit down and talk about, is there anybody else? Yes. The Bible says worlds, W-O-R-L-D-S, plural. There are more worlds. So, yes, it's just the devil didn't hit on them because Satan and landed on earth as the atmosphere axis was turning when he was in the garden. And when Jesus said, I saw him kicked out of lightning like heaven, he came out of heaven and he hit on our surface. I wish he could hit on some other worlds because the Bible said there are other worlds, but he didn't. That's a revelation. He was kicked out. Jesus said, I behold Satan fall out of heaven like lightning. I think Luke 10:18. And as his atmosphere hit the earth, he landed here. This is why we're dealing with them. The Bible says, by the word of God, so that these things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What is the basic force behind all created things? It is the word of God by the Spirit of God and for us mixed with faith. Faith is very, very powerful. Let's look at speaking the word of faith. Let's look at some teachings of Jesus in the connections. We begin by comparing the two gospel versions of this about the fig tree that Jesus cursed in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but bare leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on forever." Immediately the fig tree withered away, and his disciples saw it. They marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." There are two ways of using words which are brought out in this passage. One way is towards something and someone on behalf of God. The other way is toward God on behalf of something or someone. First, Jesus did not pray about the fig tree, and he did not pray to the fig tree, which would have been idolatry. He spoke to the fig tree on behalf of God, and the fig tree did what he told it to do. Jesus told his disciples they could do done to the fig tree if they had faith. What's more, if they speak to a mountain, it would have to obey them just the same. Second, Jesus explained to his disciples that if you are in prayer to God and behold of something whatsoever you ask and believe in, you will receive. I will discuss these two ways of you tonight, brothers. We're going to look at this later in the chapter, but I want you to know that the Holy Spirit worked together as Christ spoke that thing. He cursed it. That's faith, man. Let us look at the accident in the book of Mark, the same incidents. The next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry and seeing from afar fig trees having leaves. He went to see it, perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. See, words are very powerful. And people, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed have withered away." So Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have faith in God." The literary translation of Jesus' statement in "have faith in God," again, God's faith expressed through the words of human beings, are just as authoritative as if God himself had spoken them. In a certain sense, since they are breathed forth by the Spirit of God, they are God-given utterance. Jesus went on to say, "For assuredly I say unto you, whatsoever say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which he have said. And whatsoever he said, therefore I say, whatsoever that you say and pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them." If we take the opening and closing of verse 23, we have the most remarkable truth. Whatsoever say will have whatsoever he says. This does not literally anybody or anything out. It is whoever or whatever. The conditions is to have divine faith, the faith of God. The suggestions is that God is more willing to give us this faith than many of us are to receive it. Jesus was saying, do not marvel. You can do it. Have the faith in God. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul listed numbers of spiritual gifts, including faith and the mountain-moving faith. Do I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love? I have become a sounding brass and a clinging cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, words of wisdom and all knowledge, word of knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, you do not have to lay hand on a mountain. You do not have to perform miracle over it. Just speak to a mountain. That's supernatural faith. If you speak with the divine faith, the mountain has to do whatever it tells you to do. That's in health. God told me, speak to this in my health. I'm speaking to this mountain that's in me. I'm speaking to this mountain of debt that it be removed in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to this mountain of cancer that it be gone, and I don't have cancer. I'm just speaking what the Spirit say. I'm speaking arthritis to be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak financial security for live deliverance. I rebuke the spirit of poverty. See, that's faith. That's faith. And God wants us to have this faith. And we need this faith, because if we don't have this, there's no substitute for Christianity. Note Jesus' statement about the prayer. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I often ask people, when do you receive? The answer is when you pray. The moment you pray, you receive. Having may come later, but receiving comes when you pray. This is the great secret to obtaining things. The devil always has a tomorrow, and he'll let you keep you a byway of tomorrow and can kind of confuse you to get you off your faith, but do not to you. Now, let's look at divine mustard seed faith. In Matthew, we read about the disciples' inability to cast out demons from an epileptic boy. When they were alone with Jesus, they asked him, Could not, Lord, we cast out the demon? In Matthew 17:19, Jesus had one simple answer. Because of your unbelief. If anybody in the deliverance ministry, if you don't have no belief that you, when you cast them out, you need to stay out of this ministry, because you'll be like that as a song of Sceva. Some of you preachers up here talking about casting out demons, you don't know the Holy Ghost and you don't know nothing about the devil. I warn any of you, don't come up here dealing with this if you don't know what you're doing. You see? Because you hurt yourself and you hurt others. Let me read this to some people. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 13. And I'm saying this for a reason. I'm following the Spirit. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, E-X-O-R-C-I-S-T-S, that's in the Bible, King James, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and a chief in the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. See, they know you if you're ordained by the Lord. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, both Jews and Gentiles, got that, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You see, why is I'm saying this? Because you got to have faith when you're dealing with demons. If you don't have faith, don't come messing with this, because this will happen to you. You see what Jesus said, and the disciples said, Lord, how come we couldn't cast it out? Let's compare this with Luke 17:6. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the multitude of the tree. Hang on, I'm on live, and someone's trying to call me live. Okay, I'm back. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Notice the tree is not just cast into the sea, but it's planted in the sea in both passages. The Lord says all you need is a mustard seed of this kind of faith for it to be effective. One little mustard seed is sufficient to move mountains. If it is God's faith, you do not need a large spoonful of it. This is not true of every kind of faith, but this is divine faith. It is not the quality of faith that Jesus is speaking about, because Jesus was on earth and God was had the divine faith, because he was above all God, Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to get ready to show you something. Look at this faith. I want to look at a very dramatic example of faith of God, and his power is illustrated in the calling of the prophet Jeremiah. God said to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you was born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's in Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah replied in efforts, "Too young." And God essentially said, "Don't tell me you are too young because you are going to do it." The passage continues. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." You see, that's the faith and the power God has for all of us to tap into. Imagine if we had this supernatural faith, everybody in our family would get saved. Desire this gift, brothers and sisters. This is a very powerful, powerful gift. And, you know, this has taught me a lot about the examples of faith and how that faith with the men of God in the Old Testament, what they had to endure to get defeat from the enemy. I have found, as I studied this thing about faith, I learned a lot, even myself. And I thank God for the information that I got, for getting this. And this has been a very, very enjoyable session. I've been really, 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 really blessed by teaching this. Let's look at some faith here about Jesus calming a storm and divine authority. That's faith, man. See, we can tap into this. These stories that I'm showing you in the Bible, we can tap into because they are part of the nine gifts of the Spirit. In the first example, Jesus and disciples were in a small boat with a tremendous storm arose. When evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitudes, they took him among in the boats, and he was. And others' little boats was also with them. Everybody following Christ, I would too. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filled. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So he got in the flesh. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they exceedingly said one to another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus did not lay hands on the sea. He just spoke it. Jesus did not lay hands on the sea. He just spoke it. And if we can emulate what Christ, Jesus said in John 14:11, "What I shall do, you shall do." Emulate this faith. Call out to ask God tonight to give you these nine gifts. This is an example of divine authority through the word of God. In the Greek, the literal meaning of the word translated "be still" is "be muzzled." It appeared to me that Jesus saw something satanic behind the sudden abandonment in a dramatic storm. He was on his way to what was considered a case of deliverance at the Garden of the Gadarene, a demonic, whom he met on the other side. I cannot believe that all Satan's forces ganged up against him to prevent him from getting to the scene of the man's deliverance. Did anybody know that? He was on the way there, and that storm happened, and Jesus dealt with that and still dealt with the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. Sometimes when we are in a particular assignment, that means a great deal to the kingdom of Satan, brothers. And he have agenda set and waiting for you, and I'm going through it. My Sam broadcasters froze. I want everybody to pray for a miracle in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray tonight that this thing get loose. All my software is on there, and doggone it, I'm going to let the devil take that away from this ministry. Notice that Jesus did not lay hands on the water. He just spoke it. When Jesus spoke in divine order, the storm was muzzled immediately. It could not utter another sound or cause any more damage. When Israel left Egypt on the Passover night, the scripture says, not a dog wagged its tongue at any of the Israelites. See Exodus 11:7. God can silence anything. We have faith. He can silence the devil from us if we can have faith. Raising the dead by a word of faith. Now, this we don't never see. We're going to close with this. We don't never see this. Now, if you guys got any clips of people, brothers raising the dead, hey, bring it to me. Because I know one guy did it, Derek Prince. He did it. And he raised three people from the dead. There are three instances in scriptures of Jesus raising people from the dead by word of faith. The first is the son of the widow, Nain. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched and opened the coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Luke chapter 7, verse 12 and 15. Isn't Christ compassionate? You mothers, you're up here trying to love some other man. You better love Jesus. You're trying to love a carnal mind man that can't do nothing for you but bang you all day. You better get yourself and marry Christ. Jesus was moved by this woman's tragic situation and told her not to weep. This was divine compassion. A sure evidence that God wants to do something is when you are moved with divine compassion. Jesus spoke a word of faith and told the young man to arise because he had divine compassion. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that all of us, Lord, that you give us divine protection. Those who hear this, Lord, give us divine faith for a divine prayer and a miracle in our lives, Lord. Every time Jesus raised the dead, he was very specific. He always called to the person who was to be raised. Some people believe that if he had not distinguished the person, all the dead would have risen because he had the power to call them and call them out of the grave. That's why he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Because if he would have said, "Come forth," everything would have came forth. Everything has a name. The name you have is a seal that's represented in the book that God has. And when you die, he's going to look at that name through that birth paper and say, "Okay, are you born again and saved?" That's what it's going to be all about. The second instance is concerning the daughter of Jairus, J-A-I-R-U-S. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. All outside took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Again, Jesus spoke a word of faith and told the little girl to arise. Some people claim raising the dead never happens today. That's not true. Derek Prince did it. Derek Prince did it. Derek Prince did it. This is divine faith that Jesus is using. He was moved with compassion to raise Lazarus from the dead. That takes faith. And God can give us that same faith because he tells us, raise the dead. You got too many people talking about money coming. Raising dead, where that money at? And that's sad that these churches are like that. And I shoot that out because the Lord tells me to put that out there. You want to know Christ personal. There's nothing wrong with tithes and offering. You got to have a church that tithes and offering. But buying a pastor $87 million paying, he ain't even raising the dead. And I can see the old brother raising the dead. I ain't got nothing against his money and stuff, but that stuff is counterproductive for Christians to see. Because being a soldier in Christ, you can't be clean all the time. I was a soldier in the flesh. A hardened soldier don't have time for that. In the battlefield, you ain't got time to be eating no Don Perignon. You got to eat some MREs because you're on a mission for whatever assignment you're on for your country. But when you get saved, we're on a mission. God has called us from the world. And, you know, we got forces that's trying to pull us back into the world. We got situations in this country where it is very, very divided. A house that's divided cannot stand. We're in some very dangerous time. And anyone who's listening to me, you need these spiritual gifts. Don't try to run away from it. We're going to pick up tomorrow. Not tomorrow. We're going to come back Tuesday with the other remaining gifts that we're going to be talking about with the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Don't forget to subscribe. We got some brand new subscribers. I want to thank all of your new subscribers. And before I go, I want to say a special prayer for a miracle, because my software, I cannot let the devil take my software. And I'm going to believe a miracle, and I want everybody to agree with me. I have a problem with this sound. I don't have no problem with this sound broadcast. I come up against it in the name of Jesus. All my software that's trying to get blocked, Satan, you're a lie. I want every believer to come up against that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Voice bouncing and electrical demons, you loose my software. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ask God to give you the 9 gifts. Don't forget to continue to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We need more subscribers. And please don't forget for your tithes, gifts, and offerings. We have to revamp this radio station. And we're urgently asking for income now. The computer's just too old. And we're going to get everything right. I'm believing the Lord for $10,000. And I know that that's small change to God. That ain't nothing to God. But it needs that to get the right communication equipment up here. Some of the stuff is old and just need to be revamped. I got to get my printer up and going. That's $800. So off the bat, that's eight. That's $3,000. Just I can just show you right now. We need to increase our modem, our boards, and get them digital. They're monolog, and we're in a different time now, and I have to adapt to it. So sow a seed. Please sow a seed and help us out. We're a 501c3. If you're interested in becoming part of this ministry, email me at overtonab1@gmail.com. We're a non-denominational ministry. We worship on the Sabbath. I tell it like it is. I don't hold my tongue. No, I don't hold my tongue. I do not like racism. I hate that spirit. I hate that spirit. I hate that thing. And we got a lot of clowns up there with them demons up there talking about make America great again. You got men all in the office beating their wives. You see, this is a taskmaster. We're going to talk about that next week, too. God's taskmaster. In Judges chapter 9, God gave America a taskmaster. Don't forget to sow a seed. Please sow a seed and help us out. We're in need for some computers. God bless you. Wouldn't say it if we didn't ask. We're going to have a telethon probably Friday. Beginning Friday at 11 o'clock, a special telethon to raise money for some computers. And we're going to believe God, and we're going to trust that God would bring us whatever he needs to keep this ministry going. And we believe that he would put it in your heart to sow a seed here. God bless, and have a good night. Okay, Big Mike, run the board.
Amen. All right, let's get ready to open up the line for commentary on tonight's tea, starting with area code 404. You have the mic.
404 is Brother John. I just came in about like 15 minutes ago because the wife and I went out to dinner. But what I heard, I really enjoyed it. You know, from what Brother Emmett was talking about was it two different kinds of faith. He talked about, you know, you got the saving faith and you got divine faith, and naturally everybody know that saving faith just means believing and trusting in the crucified and risen Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And it also involves believing with all our hearts, with all our will, and committing our total self to Jesus Christ as he revealed himself to us in the New Testament. And the last thing he said about that one was faith involves repentance and true sorrow and turn away from God, from sin to God. Now, I like what he said about the saving faith, and there's just one comment I got to make because I couldn't hear it all. What I picked up was faith. This is okay. He said this kind of faith, the gift of faith, is not saving faith, but it's a special supernatural faith imparted by the Holy Spirit that enables us as Christians to believe God for the extraordinary and the miraculous. Again, The gift of faith is a special supernatural faith imparted by the Holy Spirit that enables the Christian to believe God for the extraordinary and the miraculous. And one final comment. It was also said it is a faith that moves mountains and is often found in our faith and in combination with the manifestation other gifts such as healing and miracles. And you know what I mean by that. He talked about how God raised, Jesus raised the dead, how he calmed the storm. He talked about raising Lazarus. He talked about raising the son of the widow and the daughter of Jairus. So I like that. In other words, the gift of faith is a faith that moves mountains and often found in what? In combination with other ministry and manifestations such as healing and miracles and these kinds of things. God bless you.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Here we go. Big Mike.
Yes, sir.
Brother John.
What's up?
Reverend Stuckley said he ain't did nothing wrong.
Well, he don't need to tell us that. That's his business.
He said he thought y'all was talking about hanky-panky.
Huh? Say that again?
He said he thought you were talking about damn hanky-panky.
No, my fellow friend. I ain't talking about no hanky-panky tonight. I'm just giving a brief overview of what the brother taught tonight. You know, I just got in about like 15 minutes ago because the wife and I went out to dinner. But I did catch, you know, the last 5-10 minutes. And I was glad I was able to respond. So I'm not here to criticize or to speak hanky-panky. I'm here to summarize the teaching. That's all. God bless you, sir.
I got another from Reverend Douglas for Brother John. I've written a thesis on the book of Revelation. Where are you coming from? Give me your angle.
Yeah, well, on the book of Revelation, well, you know, I'm just starting it, you know, and let's see, what can I say? I'm just going to talk about Jesus in Matthew 24, when his apostles asked him about what is the end time going to be like, and Jesus gave him a summary of what the end time is going to be like. And I thought I would like to summarize it myself, because, man, I find that to be very interesting. Now, that's my favorite book. That's what I was going to say. I did a little outline, and then maybe this will help you. And my little outline, here we go. My little outline, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Wait just 1 second. I'm trying to find it. I got it in my little notes here. Oh, boy. Man, you see my table. I got all kinds of people spread out ready. You go ahead. I'll come back in a few minutes, okay? Let me see if I can find it. Okay. There we go. Okay, what are you going to include? It's going to include, talking about the end times, okay? It's going to include the last days of preparation, which talk about increase of crime, which we have in now, disregarding God's law. He talked about that. He talked about there going to be persecution of godly people. And that's the last, and I'm going to talk about the rapture. I'm going to give a little brief overview of the rapture. Then I'm going to give a brief overview of the tribulation after the rapture. You got the tribulation. And then you got the regular tribulation, and then you got the great tribulation. After that, then you're going to have the Antichrist on the scene. I'm talking about the Antichrist. And then after I talk about the Antichrist, and then I'm going to talk about the millennium, the 1,000-year millennium. Christ is going to come back just for that and establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. After the millennium, after that 1,000 years, then the Lord is going to have the final judgment. And that's where all the wicked will be raised from the dead to face judgment. And then I'm talking, and it's going to be the great white throne judgment. You got the judgment seat of Christ where all the born again, spirit filled believers are going to be saved. But then you got the other judgment, the great white throne judgment. And that's when all the sinners are going to appear to be sinners. Then after talking about the final judgment, I'm going to give a little overview about the new heaven and the new earth. So that's about it in a nutshell. So the acts of the end times, you might as well call it the acts of the end times, starting from the tribulation all the way to the new heavens and the new earth.
Okay. I have, let me read this. There was some word of knowledge last night to this gentleman. His name said he don't want his name to be called out, but he wanted to let Brother John and Brother Mike and everyone knows that he's leaving the church. And he's decided to join Lord Egan. And he asked for Brother John's comment, please.
Well, you know, from previous teachings of Brother Emmett Overton, he's a Lord Egan, nothing but a Satanist. He's sort of like one of the right hand, one of the Marshall type dudes for Satan. And what he does, he go around and search out by the spirit of the devil who is half-stepping, who's not fully sold out, and looking for fame, glory, looking for wealth, and these kinds of things. And by that, he can approach guys, pastors, and say, you know, if you follow me, only one or two things you got to say, and go, I'll get you a church. And I can get you 100,000, 200,000 members. I can get you all the women you want. I can get you all the homosexuals you want. I can give you all the lesbians you want. And have your own church. And they'll come to you, and you can have all the sex you want and everything else. Just don't mention the name of Jesus, and don't talk about deliverance, that kind of a thing. Okay, so guys, oh, that's all they have to do. Don't talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Don't talk about like tongue interpretation of tongues and stuff like that. Yep, and guys falling for it. So they go over, and boom, they got a church with 100,000 members. You know, right off the bat, all the most beautiful women you want to see and everything else. Man, that's selling your soul to the devil. That's what it is. But some don't realize. Some had called Brother Emmett, and Emmett shared with me and said, you know what? This guy called, say he's leaving, and he's not going to listen to us anymore, that he's going to follow Lord Egan. Lord Egan got a church for him with all the beautiful women. He can have all the sex he wanted. And sometimes he's slick. He don't leave the sex part, and he just say, I give you all the, I give you a big congregation, and the offering going to be out of sight. And all you have to do is just don't talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and then don't talk about other, you know, things that Satan doesn't like. But there's no, you know, so don't take a chance because guys say, well, if I don't like it, I always come back and repent. But suppose you accept that offer with Lord Egan now, okay? Because remember, he's a high priest of Satan. That's all he is. He looked like us and everything else, but that dude is sold out completely. He done caused many, many, many hundreds to leave the Church of Christ and join, go into devil worshiping and get his own church, and he can just teach and preach whatever he wants. As long as he don't talk about the gift of spirit, as long as he don't talk about salvation, just talk about how Jesus loves and how Jesus can give us what we want and kind of thing. But when you take that chance, suppose you take that off and say, okay, I'm selling out. If I don't like it, I can come back. But suppose he sell out that night, and then Lord Egan show him this church and everything else, and have a bunch of women introduce themselves to him and have sex with him and everything else, and then he say, this is fun. And all of a sudden, he dropped dead going someplace, dying to sleep in an automobile wreck. He had a chance to repent. See, because you don't know. Satan, through Lord Egan, going to trick you. You say, yeah, okay, you're going to get me in my own church, and I can have all the women I want and everything like that? Yeah. And the guy sell out. And what happened? He signed the document. He looked at this big church that Lord Egan taken to. He said, you mean this is going to be my church? Yeah. And all them pretty ones going to be mine? Yeah. And so he signed the line. A name on the dotted line. And then he on his way home, and he run in, get in an automobile accident and die a heart attack. Guess what? His soul can go straight to Jesus, and Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, I love you, but you turned your back on me after all what I've done for you. I mean, I didn't have to do it. I'm God. And I laid aside all that power that I have, just become a mere human being, so I can love on you and show you how much me and my father love you. And, you know, there's some of your grandparents or great-grandparents up there that's waiting for you to come, and you do something like this, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. It's just a trick of the devil. That's all it is, my brother. He's going to have you sold out. He's going to show you this church. He's going to show you all these fine women or find all these pretty gays that you might be like. I don't know. But whatever drawing you there, it's just for season. And don't take that chance because, see, I got him now. And then he'll have some drunk man in a big 18-wheeler across the line hit you head on, and you're dead, and guess what? Your spirit goes stand before Christ, and Christ's going to go say one or two things, welcome home or either depart from me. And if you follow that lifestyle, it's going to be depart from me. I died for you, brother. I mean, I let those guys be. I'm God. I could have said, just when he went to raise that hand to whip me, hit me with that whip, he could have said, arm drop off, and the arm would have dropped off. He could have said, drop dead. Oh, and that guy with the spear who I wanted to cut aside. As soon as he raised that spear, the Lord could have said, drop dead. That guy would have dropped dead right there. That's why he had to say, Lazarus, come forth. If he said, come forth, everybody would have came out of that grave. You see, so no, don't let him trick you, my brother. That's just a trick of the devil. He can offer you beautiful things. Like some people still think you have a party down in hell. You don't have no party. You'd be swimming in that lake of fire. So rethink it, man. Don't do that because God loves you, man. And I don't think your mama would appreciate it if she knew what we were doing, okay? She might be up there waiting on you. Say, I'm waiting on my son, Lord. And Lord just can't say nothing.
We got someone ready to talk to Brother John. This is Dr. Carl McKennedy. Mm-hmm. And this is directed to you, Brother John. Based on my manual of Hank Hanegraaff, I consider you, Brother Emmett, and Michael despicable. You're heretics. Come back, please.
Well, to respond to that, you have a right to believe what you want to believe. And what you call me doesn't hurt me because I know who I am in Christ, you see. So you can call me all kind of names. Like white folks can say nigga, nigga, nigga. That don't bother me because I know better. I know I'm not a dumb, stupid nigga. And I know you not think you one either. So when they call you and say what they think of you, when they keep us separating schools and buses and bathrooms and all that stuff, that don't mean that they're right. They're just a bunch of hypocrites who are dumb and stupid. And don't follow that white man talking about it. That's the devil talking to him. He don't even know it. Because guess what? The devil don't want you to have those spiritual gifts and these kind of things because you'd be one powerful minister in your church. You'd have
Brother
people
John,
being saying about a dozen some people and so forth. So, no, you have
John.
Right to believe what you want to believe, sir, but that's a bunch. He's a bunch of crap, okay? He's not real. He's just a redneck cracker who got a church. That's all it is.
But Brother John, explain to the people. You got people saying who you talking about. They didn't hear who we were talking about.
Who I'm talking about?
Hank Hanegraaff. People don't know who he is.
Hank Hanegraaff is one of those big-time ministers, something like what Bishop Jake is on the black side. Well, he's a white dude, he's very popular, and he got hundreds of books that he wrote out. And one of his favorite books, which is real popular, is How You Can Find Out Who's a Heretic. And guess what? He used what Satan wanted him to use, those gifts of the Holy Spirit, the healing, word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of faith, and all the miracles, all that's going out. That's not running. We have his written word. Well, if you look at the written word talk about go forth and I want you to and lay hands on the sick that they may be healed, raise the dead, and all this is all those gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, and also in Romans 12 chapter talk about the ministry gift. But we say we have his written word. Don't say we have his written word and you don't apply it. You know, it's like saying God so loved the world. He wants us to love each other. You probably can say, oh, I can do that. The devil don't have no problem with that. But as soon as you talk to somebody, say, you know what? God has some powerful gifts. These are weapons that you can use against people against demons and evil folks who cause some people to go astray and everything else. You're supposed to be in that church saving souls. You're supposed to be in that church laying hands on the sick that they may heal. They don't need to go to the doctor. You can lay hands on them if you got that anointing. And then sometimes he may, I don't know what to do, Pastor. And God will give you a word of knowledge and say, let me tell you, my child. And you won't be speaking from your mindset. You'll be speaking with the Holy Spirit. And you say, tell her this. Tell him that. Tell her. I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And then you save, you might save a person from committing suicide. Person may, some people come to you for counseling, may not really trust you totally. They come, I'm having this problem. They're just touching lightly on the problem to you. Well, my dear, I think you ought to do this and you ought to do that. And but the person really didn't open up because they didn't know if they can trust you or not. So they didn't open up and tell you the bottom truth of what their problem is. Where if you were where you were had the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you say the Lord, the Holy Spirit say, she just danced around the major problem because she don't know if she can trust you, or don't even know if you can understand what she or he trying to say to you. So he just giving you just a little bit what her problem was or what his problem is. But if you got those gifts, you can say, sweetheart, the Lord telling me your husband asked you for a divorce. You telling me that you pregnant but from another man. Are you telling me you did this? Are you telling me, you know, blah, 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 blah. How do you know that? How do you know that? See, the Lord told me. And then that person opened up and started crying and repent. See, that's what the gift does to a minister. It makes it minister, really minister to his congregation. You can lay hands on some, be sick. Some you give the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, say, but you don't want to go there because that person really want to bring you over so he can rape you. Or that person mad because you want to leave him, he's going to kill you or shoot you. Don't go. Now the Holy Spirit give us all kinds of warnings. But if you don't have that, you just walk around talking about, we have his written word. And so what? You go to church and preach, Jesus love me, this I know, the Bible tell me so. That ain't saving nobody. That's not healing anybody, okay? So don't believe that man. He's working under the inspiration of the devil and don't even know it. Because those demons don't want you to get the gift of healing. They don't want you to get the gift of word, knowledge and understanding. And he don't want to get the gift of faith, because you can say, well, I know I'm dying because I got 4-stage cancer and blah, 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 and that's it, and so on, so on, so on. Well, a godly minister can walk in and say, honey, I heard what you said. I heard what the doctor said. You 4-stage cancer and everything else. But I have the anointing of faith. I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm talking about the gift of faith, where I can lay hand on you and you believe in me, and that cancer can go. And that has happened in the past, you know. And so you say, okay, Pastor, boom, we pray and shoot. And here I come back the next Sunday, tell me, guess what? That went to the doctor, like you said, and the cancer gone. That kind of a thing. Even my sister is one, and I share that with. She had 4-stage cancer, and she's what? She's 75, and I'm 77, 2 years older. And she called me, Brother John, I got cancer. And she just cried and everything else. But she had been walking with the Lord ever since she'd been 14 years old. I mean, she was speaking in tongues the whole time. She says, I don't know why this happened. I said, well, he must be just trying you out, you know. She says, well, what should I say? Hey, you the one that got me saved. You prayed for me for 20 years before I got saved because I thought you were a big joke. And she said, well, I know you and mom and all treat me like a dog, you know. And I said, well, we didn't know any better. We were Methodists, and we didn't believe in that stuff. And that, so we thought you had lost your mind. So she says, and I said, then you prayed for me, and then that's when the Lord came to me one night, spoke to me, and told me if I died, I was going to bust hell wide open. He told me that 3 times in a row, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I got saved. But because he says, you saved because your sister prayed for you for 20 years. That's what the Lord told me. Because your sister. And then she said, I don't understand. I served him all my life. And that girl never had went to bed with a man but her husband. That just happened. I mean, she walked the walk and talked the talk, that kind of a thing. And what happened is the Lord said, okay, my child, I'm going to heal you tonight. And when you go to the doctor, because she's supposed to go get surgery because they're going to do some major cutting in her, you know, in her vagina and everything else. She went to the hospital, and the doctor said, oh, my God, there's 3 of them in there. And come to find out, the 3 doctors who performed the surgery was 3 of her first-grade students because she's a retired school teacher. She said, Ms. Durden, wait a minute, you were my school teacher when I was in the first grade. Another one said, me too. And then one nurse was in there and says, I was in her class too. And couldn't find out 3 of the major doctors who were the best known doctors in surgery for cancer in Savannah, Georgia, where she's living, was going to perform surgery. And they found out that she was her deaf school teacher. I mean, he was a white student because she taught at an integrated school. And then the Lord, and they were born again spirit-filled believers, those doctors. And one of the Holy Spirit spoke to them and says, you don't need to do that, my son. I've healed her. And she said, you know what? The Lord just spoke to me. And my sister said, I know what you're finna say. She said, well, the Lord spoke to you and said, I'm healed. And so they took her in out of the surgery. They took her into the x-ray room and did an x-ray, and all signs of the cancer was completely gone. She's walking around now. And then the hospital there, Emory Hospital, want to put her on the news media to give a testimony of how the Lord saved her. And they got the charts and everything showing cancer all in her uterus and everything else. And it's all gone, all gone. And so, yeah, that man don't want you to know all that stuff, because we can serve God. God wants us to do what he did. He says, hey, it's up to you guys now. Don't tell me, Lord, please heal her. Lord, please heal him. The Lord said, I've given you that power. All you got to do is just believe. Come to me in humbleness and accept what I got to give to you. You come to me and say, I believe, Lord. I'll give it to you. That's all I want you to have, faith. There's two kind of faith, saving faith and the faith of healing, anointing faith, the gift of faith, which is powerful, to believe God, even though you can't understand it, don't see it. God bless you. So one last minute, tell a man where he can go. See, God got more for you. I'm a hypocrite. You know why? Because he don't believe it. And he's making thousands and thousands and thousands of money from all them books he's writing. And folks come, I know. He said, you a hypocrite. So what? You know what? That same man who say you a hypocrite, that's that same man say he don't like niggas. Okay? How you like that? I'm not, so I want you to think about it. The same man talking about him a hypocrite, he's the same guy walking around as a redneck minister cracker. That's all he is. He's a bigot. And you go, so think about that. The same man who's talking about them people who speaking in tongues and got the gift of healing, that's heretic. That's the same man say, ain't no nigga marry my daughter, and ain't no nigga come to my house. Okay? God bless you. I think I had diarrhea to mouth. Y'all excuse me. Bye.
Okay, this is coming from Reverend Stoopman to Brother Mike. I'm reading. When is your next angle?
Is that
when is my next angle?
Yeah, but Mike. Tell him what that is, brother.
Yeah, and in other words, when you get ready to do your thing, like teach or give a summary or whatever, or make comments, where you coming from?
Yeah.
You don't know where you coming from.
I know.
When you. You want to know your angle?
When the Holy Spirit gets, that's when I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Right.
We come from where the Holy Spirit give us to come from.
Now, you know, this is number of demons in this man. You know, he said, y'all just now said, hey, thank you. I told y'all to leave that damn thing alone.
Sir,
that's
a demon that just spoke to you just now, gave me that thought. I want you to remember one thing, like Brother Emmett, when he was teaching, when I was sitting on his teaching about deliverance. When your thoughts come out like that, that's not you. That's that evil spirit influence you to say that. And because you thinking it, you think it's you. Remember now, demons are real slick nowadays. They can get caught in the early days. Don't you want to do this? Don't you want to do that? Yeah, I want to do that, and I want to do this. But now, those demons don't use the second person. First person is I. Second person is you, he, she. And so the demons speak in the first person now, so they want you to tell them. They don't say, don't you want to do this? They say, man, I want to do this, and I want to do that. And because the word I come out of your mouth, you're thinking that's your thoughts. That's just a trick of the devil. See? That's all it is. Don't fall for it, brother. Yeah, learn the deliverance ministry. It's a powerful ministry. And been held back for so long. Just think that nowadays, in modern days, nobody getting saved, not getting healed, you know, of this kind, or even the least little thing. A person have a cold, I'll pray for you, my child. And a person still having a cold, a couple of days later, got pneumonia or something, you know. Let's church, sister say she need prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, mighty God, you know, so. No, get the gift.
Yeah.
Get the gift.
Okay, Reverend Clausen to Brother Mike. I don't speak in tongue and none of that, and I do follow Hank Hanegraaff. Do you consider me a mind man?
Yes, I do. Yes, I
You're a mind man. You ain't going nowhere.
And all you flaws is a redneck white man. That's all. I'm trying to be nice. I said white man. I could have said something else. Okay.
Okay, 845-845-845. No hanky-panky. 845, there's no hanky-panky.
No hanky-panky, brother.
But there may be some trading.
Oh, there's going to be some trading. There's going to be some trading tonight.
Oh, man. I bless all you brothers, man. I love you guys, man. I'm enjoying this. Love you guys when you guys retort to these brothers over there. All your responses and all your comebacks are just funny. They're very good too. I feel like these brothers are just, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm no one to, you know, judge, but I feel like the devil has just used them to try and entice you guys.
I see straight through it.
Yeah,
wait,
I bet you do.
Hang on, wait a minute. The Lord, give me okay. Some on Rev Fillmore. Brother Mike, give Rev, he just got through saying that, and that he guessing that. So give Rev Fillmore a license plate number. Write this down.
J358762.
Got it.
AB on the back end of it. AB.
All right. And ask him how you feel about that.
Hold up. Whoa. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, y'all. What were it? 2263 Michael Street.
Uh-oh.
5 feet.
Got it. And
184 pounds. Fat.
Mm.
Can he hear you?
Seagram's gin, a half gallon a day.
Good gosh.
Newport 100
cigarettes.
Newport 100 cigarettes and child pornography. Give them 3 days.
Mm. Brother, I hope you just realized that your whole MO has been read, been broadcast, brother. You better repent. You got a lot going on, brother. That word of knowledge is just serious. Your address and everything. And what you're doing, brother.
Does it sound like heretic to you when a mere man like us tell you what the Lord said and tell you what your numbers is, your driver's license number, tag number, and all that, and you still think it's heretic? Do you really, really think so?
That is fool's talking about. If he could get Brother John on a one-on-one stand-down, he'd change everything on this live debate.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You'd be competing against the Holy Spirit, not me, buddy. I say and do what the Lord and the Holy Spirit want me to do and make you look like an idiot. I mean, I'm trying to be honest. I'm not trying to put you down anything like that.
Okay, 845, you go back at it. I'm sorry.
brother, I mean, man, the Holy Ghost targeted him like Afghanistan. I just pray for those brothers. I mean, that's pretty scary.
That's a great nothing, but that's what's in the church. Those are great nothing.
Sad.
Matter of fact, that's very, very sad, brother. Tuesday night, they're going to be in here. Since y'all want to come in here, I'm teaching on great. Now, what is a great nothing Wednesday? What's a great nothing?
Oh, I love those teachings. I remember one of the first times I ever heard that from you, Brother Emmett. And I heard, what was it also? I heard you was like a gorilla pimping, too. Man, I remember that first time.
Yeah.
I remember that, like, oh, man. I remember saying, Brother M, it's great words to these so-called ministers. Man, but when that Holy Ghost gets moving, though, man, that's a scary thing. I just stay quiet, because the Holy Ghost, man, that's like napalm.
Anytime
about somebody try to fall in the hands of God like that, man, that's very scary.
845, people are being deceived because they don't get these nine gifts of the Spirit. I can see straight through I can see straight through Creflo Dollar. I see straight through Reverend Russ E. Pillmore. Hold up. Reverend Russ E. Pillmore, you ain't nothing but a dog. You need to repent. You're molesting a 16-year-old girl, man.
What? What?
Oh.
Well, that word of knowledge is just going up again. That word of knowledge, that warning is going forth, brother.
He gone. He left.
He's gone?
Yeah. Dr. Stillman, give me Ezekiel 11:5, Dr. Stillman. The Lord told me to give him that, because he see in your mind, you fool. He said, but that ain't, God can't read my mind. Give me Ezekiel 11:5 for Dr. Stillman.
All right.
Brother, he, Dr. Stillman said that's Brother John typing it and just gave it to me.
Nope. Nope. That is not the case.
Nope. I'm way, right. I'm way across town, a good hour drive from where he lives.
And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. Every one of them.
You are evil. You like child molestation. You molest boys. You're a freak. You got 24 hours to repent.
He's lucky God gave him 24 hours. God.
You see, these people are sheep. This is the one that the Bible talks about in sheepskin, man. Wolves in sheepskin. And the people
I thought about that the other night. You know, I say, that's what they are. I don't know why they listen to us. You know, whooping sheep. Whooping sheep clothing. Wow.
And some of them are learning. Every time the older ones always tell me, I'm going to be monitoring Brother John. He'll now, what you talking about? I don't know you. He's always monitoring. You don't never say, I want to come learn. I'll be monitoring. Or, I wrote the thesis on this.
Well, you know what that is, right? The spirit of what?
Right. I think
amen.
I need
that's all it is. And they don't know. That's the spirit in them talking, and they don't even know the spirit is talking through their vocal cords. You know, I'm monitoring you. And that's that evil spirit, but they don't believe in talking like that. Because we all supposed to be God-fearing men, and we supposed to be teaching the word of God and trying to get people saved. But no, you call them, I'm monitoring you. I got a thesis. You know, well, great. God bless you. Get some more. But we don't need to know that, you know. We're here just trying to share the word of God. You got something you want to share? Share it with us. We're open, you know. We have no hard feeling.
Anybody got a Bible? This is for Reverend Patson, Reverend Theodore Patson. This is for Reverend T.C. Whitmore. All of you are great nothings. All of you just not said that go to hell, but yet you're still in here. I'm going to give who you are based on scriptures as a leading of the Holy Spirit. Hit me. Big Mike, give me Jude 1:16. You are a great nothing, as I call your name. You have, Brother Mike, after I say that, give them 3 days to repent.
Brother, I was already in Jude, already waiting.
Give me Jude 1:16 and rebuke great nothings and give Reverend Tillmore 3 days. Reverend Tillmore, 3 days. Reverend Tillmore, Reverend Lumpton, 3 days. Reverend Carson, 3 days. Reverend Wilson, 3 days.
These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage.
Reverend Dyson,
I like that. Read again, please.
These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons and admirations because of advantage.
Wow, that's the Lord, all right.
I'm hearing 2 Peter 2:18-19. Brother Mike, this is Reverend Crofton. He has 7 days. Reverend Wilmar Dawson, he has 7 days. Dr. Lilton, 7 days. 2 Peter 2:18-19, please. Dr. Lilton, he lives these scriptures. This is Dr. Lilton.
For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage.
Wow. Great Nothings 115. Great Nothings 115. Reverend Lewis, 7 days. Reverend Tillmore, Bishop Donaldson. Mark,
do they understand that you got 3 days, 7 days? Are they realize what you're saying?
Huh?
Are they realizing what you're saying when you say you got 3 days, you got 7 days? Do they realize what you're saying?
Brother Mike, tell them explain them what I'm saying.
Yeah, explain it to them. Maybe some of them haven't comprehended that.
Brothers, what's going on is word of knowledge is going forth. And when Brother Emmett is saying that you got 3 days or 7 days or 1 day, he is saying that you have those days to repent before the Lord is going to take you off the face of this earth. So if I were you, I would go ahead and wise up and listen to the warning and repent before your time is expired.
It is not a joke. It's not a game. This is serious stuff.
That's right.
Reverend Turnipseed, he has 7 days. Reverend McDaniel, he has 6 days. Reverend Tilson just say, you can't be talking about me. I don't need the spirit. This is for Reverend Tilson.
Wow.
Jude 119. Reverend Tilson. Jude 119. Reverend Tilson.
I got to look for that myself. Jude 119.
Reverend Tilson.
Yes, sir.
Jude 119. Reverend Tilson. Jude 119.
These be they. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the spirit.
You're a mad man.
And then I have right next to the spirit, I got the word written in mind, man. And these be they who separate themselves. Sensual, that means fleshly, having not the spirit. They're living in according to the desires of the flesh.
Oh, this is for homiletics. We got 9 homiletics in the room. Clifton, Daniels, Swilson, Turner, McElby, Edwards, Howard, Mobley. How many is that? 8?
Winston. About 5.
9. And Stunson. You got 2 more Hoopers. Kilkin and Walton. These scriptures apply to you. You ain't doing nothing. 1 Corinthians 2:4.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
3 days. 3 days. 3 days. Dr. Tillmore, you just as dumb. Dr. Tillmore, you hear me? The Lord told me you just as you're dumb. This is for you, Dr. Clemore, because you have a Leviathan spirit in you. But the Lord told me to tell you, you got 3 days, and he's getting tired of you. He's been with you 30 years, and you're still dumb. Here's for you, Dr. Clemore. Romans 1:22.
Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Woo!
You dumb. Word of knowledge has just left. Anybody want to comment on the word of knowledge? Let's open up, Brother Mike.
Hey, man. I don't have nothing else to say. I mean, that's operating firsthand right here before my eyes and before my ears. I don't have to say nothing else. If they can't get it from that, I don't know what to tell them.
Final thought, Brother John. Final thought. Hello?
Brother John.
Final thought, Brother John. 845, final thought. Oh, wait a minute. Trade time. Wait a minute. 845.
845, can you hear me, Big Mike?
Yep, I can hear you.
845, can you hear me? Brother John, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we're giving back the mic to you for final thought of the night.
That's the final thought about the night?
Yeah.
Oh, oh man, that's great because you're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and faith is fantastic, man, because, man, I had a grandmama just like that, you know, who had that kind of faith. And whatever she said, when she said, "When come to pass, it come to pass," because she had believed God, you know. And I have to give my salvation credit to her, you know, in addition to the Holy Spirit and my sister, because, man, if everybody else in the family didn't know the Lord, man, and she, I remember times I didn't want to go to church and Sunday school and stuff like that, man, and I'd crawl under the bed trying to hide. She'd pick up the bed and almost throw it across the room, like, "You're going, brother, you like it up, boy." And she dragged my butt to church on Wednesday nights and Friday nights. And every time I looked at, man, I was going. And at the time, I wasn't even saved. You know, I was kind of frustrated. But it was great to know there's a distinct difference between a saving faith, that's accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and a faith to believe God when you pray for somebody healing or for something that is miraculous, but you still got the faith in knowing. You're not thinking about, "Well, I'm going to look like a fool if I pray that this happens, so I ain't going to pray." You pray doubting. If you pray doubting, you're praying in vain. So that was good. Faith, saving faith is one thing, but this gift of faith is another thing, where you believe God when you don't even see any signs, anything that is going to happen. You be thinking you're going to look like a fool. That kind of faith means you're going to step out and believe God regardless. It was fantastic. I liked it.
845, final thought. Okay, Big Mike, close everything out for us. Don't forget, next Tuesday, Pastor Durden, what is the sermon you're teaching on?
On the end times.
We're going to see everybody Monday with Pastor Steve Lee. I'll be off tomorrow. I'll be doing deliverances. God bless. This concludes our broadcast here. Live Deliverance Internet Radio in conjunction with Blog Talk Radio. Shut it down, Brother Mike.
Give me a call.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.